What do you love most about the current age of your students?
Ooh, okay. They're so smart. So smart.
Yeah.
But unless it's on TikTok, they don't know anything.
Welcome to Worst Impressions. I am your host, Eric Anderson. I've got a real special episode for you today. It's a kind of a surprise. It's a very special someone that I didn't think I'd get on here, and I finally wrangled him and talked him down and, you know, figured out a good contract, a payment, and to get him on here. He had a lot of requests, a lot of weird stuff on there, pickled salmon, jarred jellies of exotic fruits. I was like, I don't know how I'm gonna get it, but I eventually got it all together, and I got him in the studio. Welcome to the studio of Worst Impressions, Edgar Sierra.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate the pickle stuff. And hopefully this isn't, I don't get a 1099 form for this because, still got to do taxes. But
absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Edgar, were you nervous about coming here?
Oh, heck yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, okay. Man. I mean, I listened to it. I was cracking up. I was listening to I was listening to a good amount of them.
Yeah.
And, listen to the Eclipse one.
Oh, yeah.
That was cracking me up. and I was like, oh, man, this is some high level stuff. And
I mean,
because I'm just like, okay, look, it looks like y'all got this planned out. And I'm like, what will I say?
I would describe the show as pretty low brow, not high level, but I appreciate it.
Yeah.
I'll take a high level from Edgar Sierra. Am I rolling the R's correctly?
Sierra.
Sierra.
Yeah.
Am I doing too much?
No.
Sierra.
Dude, the more R's, the more dramatic,
oh,
you know?
Yeah.
The more R's, the closer to God, you know?
I'm pretty proud that I can roll my R's. give me your best roll. Let's do some vocal warm-ups.
Oh, heck yeah. Dude, and I use them for the warm-ups, You can go like the intense, and then you have the intense, like, you're like, okay, calm down.
Whoa, oh my God.
Calm down.
Machine gun.
Or you can, or you have that once, people that are like, no, I can barely roll it. You're like, okay, it sounds like a cat. Yeah, but, hey, man.
Purr.
Yeah. Purr. Rolls a roll,
Yeah, it's a roll. That's
rolls a roll.
That's what I say at Texas Roadhouse. Rolls a roll, baby.
Rolls a roll. Hey, man. Listen. Like, you want a basket, bro? Keep them coming.
Keep them coming.
Keep them coming.
Okay, so Edgar, for those who do not know, what do you do, and why are you special to our community?
I have one of the coolest jobs, personally, in my opinion. I am an assistant professor of voice at MCC, McLennan Community College. Basically, I'm a voice teacher.
That's amazing.
I teach people how to sing, and if people can already sing, I help them. I teach people how to phonetically pronounce different languages. We talk about the diction and stuff like that. So
that's amazing.
Yeah. It's a really fun job. I mean, singing all the time and
I am so thoroughly impressed because I knew you back in the day. You were like you were like the quintessential opera man that I like knew. I was like, if anybody knows opera, it's this guy. And I just point at Edgar. And what was it? When did you start doing voice stuff? It's early, right? Like child, like, you know, were you doing choir in school?
I mean, I always liked singing. Yeah. My parents, my mom would always make fun of me. Well, not make fun of me, but would joke. I know when I was little, because I always like singing, and there would be like the theme songs for like the telenovelas, because, you know, my mom was one of those Mexican moms that would watch novelas from like 7 p.m. till the 10 o'clock news came on.
Oh, yeah. The soap prop, the soap operas.
The telenovelas are basically soap, with, you know,
the
drama.
With the big naturals in there. Mm-hmm.
You know, somebody dies, somebody randomly runs into a car and ends up, you know, the car's parked, they run into the car, next thing you know, they're in a coma, and you're like,
huh? Oh my gosh. And they're pregnant with triplets.
Yeah.
But from three different fathers.
Yeah. And then, and then their father randomly comes back into their life. Things like that.
Dude, we got to do some, you know, I'm sure there's some like watch along podcasts for telenovelas.
Oh, dude.
You'd probably be pretty good at it.
Yeah. And they're hilarious, because I'm like, well, no wonder I'm so dramatic.
Mm-hmm.
But I would grow up loving to sing those like theme songs.
Okay. Okay.
You know, but I was so shy to sing. And it was probably about middle school that I joined a choir.
Middle school. Yeah. Middle school was about, that's when they asked me, they were like, you know, choir, band, or what else was, art, you know, mm-hmm. can't forget art. Mm-hmm. I was like choir, because I could not afford an instrument.
Yeah.
I was like, I've got my voice and that's free.
Yo, you know, yeah. And I love singing, and my cousin was in it, and he was like, oh, dude, you should join. We sing all that. We sing like Britney Spears and stuff. And I was like, I love Britney Spears.
Yeah.
And I join, and then I join, and he drops out of choir. And I was like, bro.
Dude, he left you hanging, but yes. Did you stick with it? Obviously.
I did. Okay. I joined in seventh grade. Then I got to high school, and I was like, oh, well, I need 2 years of it as a fine arts credit. And then suddenly I was like, you know, this is kind of fun. And I started doing all the big all-state competitions and the solo and ensemble.
Did you kick ass at those?
I never made the Texas All-State Choir, unfortunately. It was heartbreak, and I hold a...
Okay, to be fair, very difficult. And there was some political...
I would score high on the singing, but then it come to sight reading. They're like, oh, you didn't do well. And I was like, well, I mean, you put a new piece of music in front of me. And so I made it a goal in my life to become a really good sight reader. And for those that don't know who it is, what it is basically they put a certain amount of notes. I think it was like, I don't know, say like 32 notes. And they would say, this is your starting note. And you would have to sing it on the solfege, the do, re, mi, fa.
Right. I remember doing that. I think I was okay at sight reading. But yeah, I never made it past. I think I was just always probably too video game hungover to do those competitions correctly.
I mean, yeah, you know, it was a fun time, and I just, things like that just never got me to, you know, I was, the sight reading always got me, so I made it a thing.
So now you kick ass at sight reading.
Now I'm a really good sight reader, and I made it my goal, you know, it was one of
those.
That's
awesome.
You know,
so that would be a pretty, so I would say, per the show, that'd be a, you know, sight reading is a bad first impression, I'd say.
I mean, I have a vendetta towards it.
Yeah, a constant struggle.
Constant struggle. You know, it just haunts me. And
but I mean, now you've overcome it.
Now I've overcome it. I made it a goal to, like, I will be good at this.
Yes.
And then now it's pretty cool to get, like, hired every once in a while. Like, hey, someone dropped out. Can you learn this in 2 days and come up? We'll sing it. I'm like, bro, you got the money. I got the time.
Oh, yeah. You That's know? Badass.
So,
oh,
and it's great. But, yeah, no, I did it all throughout high school and took voice lessons my last semester, and my voice teacher at the time was like, you know, should continue this.
So when did you, so you graduate high school, and then did you immediately go into MCC?
I did.
That's where I saw you.
I didn't know what I wanted to do with my life, like a lot of us.
Nobody know. Did.
But my voice teacher, who's now works at Dallas Opera, was like, hey, you should go to MCC.
Yeah.
Audition. They have choir scholarships for people, even if you're not a music major, and you should be in this person's voice studio, like take voice lessons. And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
And I went, I sang, got a scholarship, got into that studio, and I was like, oh, this is pretty fun. So
what is your favorite What is your favorite genre to perform, to sing, to practice with? If they're different, I don't know. Like, what is your favorite genre? I would say,
The classical style.
Any of it? Like, is it classical?
My degrees are in performance. I've done so many operas. I love them. But you look at my Spotify rap, not a single thing of classical in it. I mean, of course, I'm a big pop lover. I grew up, you know, bands. You know, I'm a Backstreet Boys person. If you're NSYNC, we'll forgive you on that. But
Backstreet's back. All right.
And, you know, I love singing that. I'm big into the Spanish, like, you know, the Latin, like, reggaeton and all that type of stuff. But like opera, I mean, you throw in a good Italian, you know, romantic era tenor aria, and I'm like, let's sing all the high notes, man.
Do you know what is your favorite opera?
Oh, dude,
is that too hard?
It's difficult.
First thing that comes to your mind.
It's actually the French retelling of Cinderella.
Ooh.
It's called
a song. Oh, give me a croissant. I don't know, right?
It's called Cendrillon by Massenet. It's just beautiful. But funny enough, there's not like a tenor part in it. And I'm a tenor.
You're okay. Yeah, to be clear.
I'm a tenor. There's no tenor part in it. And I'm like, this music's so pretty.
Yeah.
They're singing in French. And it's so nice.
But tenor, so I was always told, I don't know how true this is, but I was always told by my choir, like my original like middle school and high school choir director, that tenors are who they make the big bucks.
Absolutely.
In commercial music.
Everywhere.
Never mind. Okay.
I mean, it's true. I mean, sure. If you go to Olive Garden, you hear a tenor singing.
Right.
You don't hear the low voices or a high woman. And
who's like, is it Sinatra the best? Like the or is it? Oh my gosh. Groban, is he?
Josh Groban's pretty good.
Is he baritone?
He's like a baritone or barely tenor.
Sure.
He's got the high notes, but he's also got that low,
right,
sultry type stuff.
So who's the best bass? Like the most successful? I don't know. Because Sinatra, he kind of, I don't know what you would call him, but I feel like, I mean, he was very successful as a baritone-ish.
Yeah. Yeah, he got to do a lot of that. I mean, country artists have a lot of those low voices. You know,
once we get into country, never mind.
What is it, Josh Turner?
Yeah, we're getting...
Baby, lock them doors. I can't do it.
Baby, lock them doors and turn the lights down low.
You know, they're like, yeah.
And then they're doing truck commercials.
Yeah, exactly. Grilled. Come down to... Burnt curtain furred and
grilled onions, pepper jack cheese, and your own A1 thick and hearty sauce. What a burger.
And then you get the diabetes.
Oh, yeah. What is his name? Oh, man, what is his name? Wilford Brimley. He's a diabetes. If you got type 1 diabetes. Yeah, so that's probably one of the more successful. They're not even singers. So that's interesting. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Tenor. I was definitely a tenor, in middle school and then early high school. And then all of a sudden my voice starts dropping and I'm like, I wanted to be the one that like makes the money, the tenors. And so I was always devastated when my voice like got lower and lower. So that is interesting. I'm glad. You know, you're a tenor. That's cool.
You know, and it, my voice teacher, when I was, when I continued my studies at Baylor, would be like, you know what they call a tenor who doesn't hold the high note? Unemployed.
Ah, man.
So now I'm just like, all right, if I got the high notes, I'm going to hold them, you know?
There you go.
Because, I mean, you know,
it's
listen
so
to like
cool.
Michael Jackson, Bruno Mars.
I know.
You just said Josh Groban. You have all those, like, it's those, like, the male, like, commercial artists, like, you know, those are the...
And I'm always like, when I'm listening, I'm just like, I can't, like, I want to sing along, but, like, and I want to do it, and it, for me, I'm like, I want to do it right, and I'm just like, I can't hit that. Like, it's, I'm just, like, frustrated. So when you're singing along in the car, what are you singing along to? That's a tenor male voice. Is it Michael Jackson mostly?
Actually, some good like John Legend, Sam Smith.
Ooh, yeah.
One of my friends really got me on that. Lay Me Down. then. And so every time he's in town, we always go downtown and sing some karaoke. And
yeah,
you know, I start singing the high notes and suddenly everyone's like, wow. And I'm just like,
whoa, this guy.
I know. And so my friend's like, he likes X drinks. And I'm just like, there you go.
There you go.
But yeah.
What is the hardest part about being, I don't want to call you, do I call you voice, you, professor of voice? You're not really, you're a voice coach sometimes, or you're more of a, what did you say?
Yeah, like a voice teacher.
Voice teacher.
Yeah,
okay.
Like,
what is the hardest part about that? Like, because I think one of the hardest parts for me, if I was to look at it from the outside with very little knowledge, would be being able to walk the walk. Because like your students are like looking at you at all times. Like, can he really do this? You know what I mean? Because he's asking us to do this. Mm-hmm. Can he do it?
Exactly.
That seems scary.
Yeah. Because if I'm in lessons and I'm telling them, you know, you have to sing this part and you have to do this, I have to be able to model it.
Yeah.
Correctly. And, you know, sometimes you get those little, I haven't had one in a while, but you know, sometimes you get those little ego tenors and they're like, you know, I was the best. I was first chair this and everything. And I'm like, okay.
You say ego tenors?
Yeah.
Oh,
I haven't had one in a while, but you know, sometimes it did. I'm like, okay. And then they sing and then I'm just like, okay, we'll sing it like this. And suddenly their eyes are like, oh.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
No, he does know what he's doing.
And then suddenly we fix the high notes and they're like, oh, you do know what you're doing. I was like, yeah.
Like, yes, I do. A little bit, you
know? But no, sometimes it's, you know, I mean, I have a great job. I have great colleagues. It's a great institution.
I know. Yeah.
It's just sometimes the students just don't believe in themselves. And I know it sounds very, you know, I don't know.
I'm not smart enough to really comment on it, but if I was to guess, I mean, with the internet and, you know, social media, just like at this point, your students are Gen Zers for the most part. They've been growing with the internet their entire lives. So it's like they constantly see what's out there at all times, whereas people younger and generations before got to like kind of compare themselves in a bubble. Mm-hmm. Whereas like now you're comparing yourself to everyone all over the world constantly.
You are absolutely right, because here I get a 18-year-old fantastic singer and they're thinking, well, this 17-year-old on YouTube is making a bajillion dollars. And here I am struggling to sight read.
He was like, what? I was like, why even keep going?
Why even keep going? Yeah. And I'm just like, just don't, like,
don't
everyone,
focus on that.
You know, don't focus on that.
Because another thing with YouTube and let's just say like success in the arts, there is a lot of luck and a lot of connection things going on there that, I mean, look at, you know, some people that I'm not going to say untalented, but like some people that just, he's like, wait, them? You know, like, how did they get up there and make all this money doing commercial music or whatever it is? So much of it has nothing to do with their hard work or like training or whatever early on. It was just like some sort of weird luck or connection along the road. And I think people are forgetting that. And because their goal, somebody up at the top, their goal is to create an image that they did it, like pulled their boots up from their bootstraps, like from the very bottom. And like, and so it creates like this interesting narrative, and it's very disheartening for like somebody new. I am assuming. And I mean, I know it firsthand, because that definitely affected me for a few years. It was just like, what's the point?
Yeah. What's the point?
You know? But what would you say? Why would you say it's important for even on a local level to continue support of the arts? I know that's a loaded question, but I always try to explain. I was like, you don't want to lose that at the local level.
We always have this big old discussion of the whole like STEAM versus STEM. You know, everything's going towards the science, the math, all of that, the technology, which I get.
Absolutely.
And I always tell
nothing against that.
So. No, man, I always tell my, you know, other colleagues in the other disciplines, I'm just like, all right, now try creating that without the visual artist to create the graphics, to create, you know, you want to do video games. Cool. Who's going to make the music for you? Who's going to make the voice acting?
There's Foley artists. There's VA artists, you know, voiceover artists. And like, you know, you're talking about not having all of that.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah. Go somewhere who's building something. And a lot of the times they're jamming music. They're blasting it. Okay.
Exactly.
Take away that support. Take mm-hmm. away those artists and tell me you can do your job, your creation without that music. Well, no, yeah. It helps boost me mentally in a spot. We're like, exactly, man. I'm not saying that music is the like a certain technological advancement, but obviously it puts you in the right mental state. Or visual arts, you know, like say graphic designers, there's you know, I know a lot of businesses are hiring actors to run like mock interviews, because who better than actors to put you in a scenario, so then when you're actually talking to clients, because you know, if you've done business and you've never done public speaking or something, then you put an actor up there and they are now doing that. That's a great,
interesting,
you know. So it's like, without the arts, whether it's visual or music or theater or anything, it's just like, you know, you need that. You need that creative outlet. And even if you don't want to continue it and make that as a career,
it's still an amazing part of humanity, natural humanity, like that. We can't let it go. Yeah. We cannot let it go.
I would tell my high school students, like, you know, you're over here trying to sing a song in Italian in front of three people and you're terrified to death, but you know, you're an entrepreneur in the future and you're trying to, you know, propose some sort of grant and you have a PowerPoint and a handout and stuff. You're going to be like, oh, this is nothing. Imagine trying to walk into a room where three people are staring at you and you're trying to remember Italian words you don't know. It's a PowerPoint and handouts and you're just like, oh, this is easy.
I was
like,
walk in the park.
It just puts you, you know, and same with acting. You're just yeah. kind of learn how to make it in life with just like,
exactly.
You know,
it's so easy once you've forgotten a line on stage to to doing a presentation, you're good.
Yeah.
So in your time, how many operas, how many shows have you done? Not just like, because I know you've done so many, you know, choral performances or even just like solo voice performances, but like shows, how many of those have you done, you think? And what was your favorite?
I mean, it's bound to be up in the 30s or 40s.
Yeah, I'm sure.
That's including some musicals and opera stuff. Yeah, and choirs. Yeah.
That's why I was like, I'm not even going to
take that out. And other gigs.
I'm sure. Because I'm always interested in the because when we were at MCC at the same time, there is an interesting divide but like overlap between the people that are focused on like, you know, acting and then there's people that are focused on voice. Mm-hmm. Like, but then when musicals roll around, when operas roll around, when it's time to cast those, we start overlapping a little. And I was like, wonder what the like the voice people are nervous about, because I'm like, you know, I can kind of character act my way through a number if I need to, through a musical number, just to cover some notes I can't quite hit. But what are you like? Are you nervous about any of the? Because in an opera, there's not really a lot of dialogue. It's just straight singing. But are you nervous about like certain emotions, like trying to evoke certain emotions?
Something I push towards my students is we want to make you singing actors, because mm-hmm. singers, if they've never had any theater experience, are known to just be like, you know, park and bark, just deer in the headlights. Mm. And you're like, oh man, you're singing about love or heartbreak. And they're
make me love you.
Yeah. And they're just standing there and I'm just like, okay.
Yeah. Park and bark. That's,
you know,
interesting.
Yeah. And so we're just
never
like,
heard that before.
And we're just like, dude, like, are you hurt? Yeah. Well, let's see it.
Let's
like,
see. Oh,
I don't know how. And then you get like an actor and being like, show me hurt. Okay, now sing it. They're like, ooh, got me there.
There you go. Yeah, yeah.
you know.
Ooh, got me there. It's like, I cannot read these notes you say they are.
You know, so when we have the combined class and I have the theater students and the music students, I'm just like, look, y'all each bring something to the table. You know, mm-hmm. if you're singing about this, if the theater students are like, yeah, man, I got nothing, then they are the ones who are more experience. And if they're singing something and they're not fully confident in it, then that's where the music students are like, hey, been there, this is kind of what I think of to help me sing with this. You know, it's a big collaborative
right
Right. Like you talked about, we do the musical and the operas, and it's like, you know, it's fun. They get to learn from each other, and no one's, we're all there to, they're all there to learn. We're all, you know, I learn from them as much as they learn from me. So
do you have a show, a performance horror story?
A performance horror,
where like something just went wrong. Cause I've got plenty. So I know you got at least one with how many shows you've done.
Yeah. Well, and I have one that thankfully was recorded for memories. we were doing this opera called Die Fledermaus, and it was in German.
Sorry, it was Die Fledermaus,
which means like the bat, the Fleder, like fly, and then mouse, like rat, the flying rat. So like a bat.
Oh
yeah. So we're doing it in German. And anyways, at the end of the opera, I'm, with the wife of someone, and he comes in and he catches me, and I'm wearing his bathrobe. Well, and so then of course the singing starts. You're like, oh, caught you. Suddenly music starts, but I'm walking backwards and I'm wearing a bathrobe and thankfully underwear because as I'm walking backwards,
were you mic'd up?
And no.
Okay, good.
And there's the orchestra in the pit, you know, so the pit was lowered with the orchestra, and I'm walking and I'm singing. And I'm walking backwards as he's singing to me in German. And all of a sudden, the stage, I guess they had put some sort of layering, got lifted.
Oh, no.
And then my right heel hits it. And all you see is me just eat it. And I put all of my, like, light featherweight on my one right butt cheek. And I fall. And the chair I had, I see it go flying. And I'm sitting there thinking, like, it's about to hit the bass player. And... you know, for me, it felt like 2 minutes. When you watch the clip, it's like 2 seconds.
Right. But I fell. Right. It always feels way longer.
But like and I fell, and my legs just go up, and I'm like, oh, my God.
Man.
Blessings for, I mean, not that I was not going to wear them, but I still, I was just like, could you imagine? And I fell. Yeah. And then my other, you know, it was a trio, so the other two try not to laugh as they're singing.
Absolutely.
And then I'm running around, and suddenly I'm running, and you see me, like, grab my hip, and everybody's like, oh, you're acting. I was like, no, it hurt.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, oh, nice character choice. Yeah. You got a bad hip, I see.
Yeah, and I'm running.
And he's really making choices.
And they're trying to sing in German, and at one part, I'm the one singing, and you know.
Right.
Everybody, you know.
Beautiful.
Afterwards, they're like, oh, my God, you guys are such great actors. Why? Because you, like, the way you made it fall, it looked like it was for real. And I was like, no, it was.
Yeah, it's like, no, that's what you call method acting, where I really took the hit to the,
so like, to the hip. You know, for the next 2 days, I had, like, ice packs. Luckily, we were double cast, and the next guy went on the next day. And so the stage manager runs out there as soon as the opera's over and just, like, hammers it back in. Bless her.
Okay. Okay, good. Yeah.
But it,
good, yeah. Okay. Good. Stage managers, I mean, especially at the local level, like, when you got a good stage manager, it feels like you are taken care of. Like, it feels like they are just, like, the guardian angels. I know, like, some of my craziest horror stories, like, they would have been way, way, way worse without a good stage manager, you know? So, yeah.
Yeah, blessings on her, because
they don't take any credit, you know? They're not going out there and bowing or anything, but my God.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
It felt like when I, you know, when you watch that 300 movie and they're like, this is Sparta, and he's falling down, that's how I felt.
Falling down that motion hole.
And I'm like looking over and I'm seeing the chair flying, and I'm like, it's about to hit the bass player, it's gonna fall in the orchestra, everybody's gonna just get, and then you look at it and the thing falls like half a foot away from me, and I just eat it, and I like roll around, and I get up, and I keep singing, and I'm like, and you know, and my our opera director, then later on, he was like, listen, if you're gonna, you know, if you're gonna F up on stage, you do it in style. And he said, and talked to, and you know, and he
do he a was, cartwheel afterwards.
Well, and he was, you know, from he's from Mexico, from Guadalajara, and he'd be like, if you're gonna F up on stage, you make sure you do it in style. Ask Edgar. He is perfect at it. And I was like, dude. And every time he'd Beautiful. Be like, ask anyone if you know they know how to mess up on stage and still keep going. And I was like, thanks. I was like, I said, I'm an actor, y'all.
I got my stripes. Yeah.
Got my stripe. Give me some ice.
give me some ice from the green room, please. What is the difference? I want you to describe. What is the difference between an opera and an operetta?
Ooh, good question. Opera, essentially, it's sung throughout.
Okay.
You sing from beginning to
There's
end.
There's no spoken dialogue.
Dialogue. There could be like a ballet in the middle. There could be something, but it's sung. Right. So all of your, you know, if there were speaking lines, what we call recitative, sort of like the predecessor to rap.
I'm sorry, a what?
It's called recitative.
Recitative.
Or recit.
Okay.
So, you know, like in a rap song or anything that has a rap.
Like WAP.
Yeah. But it has that one little rap section.
Sure.
And it never comes back.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Recitative basically tells a story, the why am I singing? And then you have the singing portions.
Got it.
So it's like the spoken part versus sure. operetta is opera singing, but the little parts that should be in recit usually are just spoken dialogue. So it's sort of like musical theater, except
right.
the musical style isn't musical theater.
I'm really digging in my back brain. Like Les Mis is an operetta, maybe, I think, because especially at least the cinematic version, the movie version, where they're talking kind of, but it's still to music.
Like singing?
The whole yeah, it's like, I don't know what is that called, where they're kind of singing.
Yeah, that recit.
That's recit. Okay, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, because I mean, if you watch it, you know, on Broadway stuff, of course it'll be, you know, it's under the musical theater category.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, if it's sung throughout.
Which one is inferior? Which one requires more skill?
No. Well, I mean, there's some, you know, there's some musicals that some theater companies don't want to do, such as like Candide or like some West Side Story and stuff, because they're difficult to sing.
Very difficult.
Yeah, know? Like vocally.
Because you can't get, not that everybody's not talented, but you can't get like, in order to do it, you would need just cream of the crop every time,
mm-hmm.
vocalists.
And if you don't have the actor who has had vocal training,
mm-hmm.
it's a little too difficult.
Sure.
But then the other way, sometimes you have very successful musicals and opera companies try to put them on there, and it's great. It's awesome. It's fantastic. I support it. Let's cross over. But sometimes when somebody's been singing opera for like 40 years and suddenly they're trying to sing, I don't know, Dear Evan Hansen, you're kind of like, ooh, maybe not.
Okay.
You know? Okay. So they each have, I mean, and nowadays musicals these days are like the tenor parts, you're singing alto, like them things are hot. Like I said, Dear Evan Hansen, like,
yeah,
that takes.
I'll be listening. Ooh. Yeah. I'll be listening to that. And then I'll be like, whoa, I'm just like, all right, this is something else at this point. It's like, there's no way.
Mm-mm.
That's really interesting. So what have you done more of?
More opera. Yeah. I did get to do, Oliver last summer.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah,
I did it with Waco Civic, and that was fun.
Oh my gosh.
It was really, I got to play.
You'll have to tell me when you're in another show, because I gotta come see you do a show. I need to get back into seeing more shows in my free time.
Yeah, it was fun. I got to play Mr. Bubble, so I had to be mean, which all of my, as a tenor, you normally sing the love, the romantic, the sure. love interest, the comedy. Not too much, but this one I had to be mean. And that was in, you know, the director. You know, and I know one of his challenges to me was like, you've never really done like an angry role.
Yeah, never.
And I'm like, I have to be angry from beginning to end. And so for me, that was a whole new acting challenge, because anyone that knows me, I mean, you stare at me for more than like 2 seconds, I'll start laughing.
Yeah,
and so I'm over here like biting my lip while I'm like looking down at the you know.
It's like, hey, maybe you can make that step over there uneven and I can back over it.
I know, yeah.
And I can be pissed off for the rest of the show.
Dude, for real. Like,
that's honestly, method acting for
you. Oh my gosh. And I'm over here.
Hey, just push Edgar over. Push him over. He'll get pissed.
I would just bite my tongue a lot, because, you know, you look at these little bitty adorable kids looking at me being like, whoops, and I'm like, dang, man, yeah, I got you. And I'm like, no, you can't have it. And I'm like, oh. It was fun though. I mean, I would love to do something like that again.
So is the current, do you work on any of the, season, the current, opera seasons or anything at MCC right now? Like, do you help out with their vocal training for the shows?
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of the students who are in the operas usually are my voice students.
Okay. Is at this point, is the season over? I'm assuming.
Yes. The opera went, what, 2-3 weeks ago?
I know that spring, it's just been like, I'm not in school mode. So, okay. So what do you know what's going on next in the fall?
No, that's Monday. Monday we're having lunch.
Really?
Monday we're having lunch with with our theater directors and opera directors. And so Monday lunchtime, that's
okay.
That's the chat. We're going to sit down and have the talk about let's figure it. Cause I mean, this year we did,
do you get to bring anything to the table?
I do. And that's kind of what my,
do you have to keep it a secret?
Cause
by the time this airs, you will probably have already had the meeting. Maybe. Well, maybe. I don't know. I don't know when this airs, but anyways, you can keep it a secret if you like.
Yeah. kind of my homework this weekend is to, I don't know, go sit and see like, what is main goal is like, what can the students do? And
right. What is your dream? If you got to, let's say you got to put a director hat on for an opera, what would it be?
Oh, dude. Does
that interest you at all?
Yeah, it really does. I mean, I think it would challenge my organizational skills.
Absolutely.
Like having to look out dates from like months in advance.
Now you, because then all of a sudden you have to care about set. Mm-hmm. You have to care about lighting. You have to care about all that stuff that you just would not have even, you would have depended on other people to worry about. And it changes the game.
Yeah, I think it'd be a fantastic time.
Yeah. Well,
hopefully in the future I get to do it.
What would that be? Your favorite? I mean, because it might not be your favorite opera of all time, but it's got to be something that you could really bite into, where everybody's happy the whole time, no one's mad.
Yeah, yeah, not that dramatic stuff where somebody like jumps off a patio because they're,
and no one's backing up off stage, dude, in a rope.
Sometimes they get so close to the pit, and I'm just like, don't fall, dude. And I watch them, and I'm like, just don't fall.
As an actor, though, you want to be as close to the pit as possible, because that's where everybody sees your face.
I know.
And you're in front of everybody, and everybody sees you the most. So you just balance your little feet right on the edge there.
Mm-hmm. And it just puts all the teachers and directors in the back like, please don't.
What is your favorite dialect to teach? Because you were, before we started, you were talking about different dialects in music. What is your favorite one to practice, to teach?
Personally, Italian, because it's so close to Spanish. Spanish was my first language.
Yeah.
I'm fluent in Spanish.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore.
Amore.
Oh.
That's as far as I know, too. But it's fun. I mean, everything has like its stereotype.
Sure.
Italians want to be in love.
Oh, hell yeah.
Germans talk about the like forest and the like folklore, you know, like don't go into the dark forest. There's something in there and blah, blah, blah.
There's a schnitzel in the forest.
You're going to find Hansel and Gretel and, you know, the witch.
There's a witch.
There's a witch.
In the forest.
Yeah, in the vault. French is weird, but it's pretty. Spanish is about heartbreak. So, you know, sometimes the Italian stuff is just so dramatic.
Yeah. Every time, like, I think everybody's go-to when everybody's like, do opera, do an opera character. Like on SNL, you know, when Adam Sandler does Opera Man, he's doing, you know, the Nipola, it's like, and that he's doing like an Italian rip of opera. So I would assume that's most people's go-to.
Yeah.
Where this might be just like prodding into your like, I don't know, music history. Where did opera start?
Italy.
No, okay. Well, that makes sense. So they've got the richest history.
That is their, like, they are prideful about that. That is their thing. And you go to Italy, they love it. You know, that whole area, the Venice and
Florence and all that. Have you ever gone to an Italian opera in Italy?
No, I've gone to Italy, but I've never gone to an Italian opera in Italy.
You gotta go.
I know.
All right, everybody, you need to follow Worst Impressions. We're gonna get our man here to Italy, and we're gonna get him into an Italian opera. We're gonna get him front row.
Front row.
let's blow the pot up.
Right, man.
I'll be right there with you.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be fun. You know, we get some good pizza afterwards and some gelato,
dude. I'll be getting pizza for sure. I'm talking about pizza all the time.
Right.
What was I going to? Okay. Question of the pod. Do you have an impression that you like to do on, you know, a daily basis, a weekly basis of an actor or a character from a movie or a show, a student, a coworker, a family member that you love to rip on? And, you know, it's like, I can mimic them pretty well, even if you can't even do it well. You know,
mm-hmm.
You got a little taste of somebody to share with the wimps.
I mean, people a lot. One of my good friends, it's just he's from Marlin, Texas. You know, sometimes he talks a lot like this, and this, but then he stands up there, and let me tell you, the boy can sing some Russian music. Like he's and he'll like sing, and suddenly it's this big old Russian piece, and he's on a high note, and he'll crack. He'll be like, "Oh, dang it!" Okay, he's not yet. Well, yeah. But he gets, you know, and I sit there and I'm dying because he's just, and he called me yesterday complaining about student stuff.
It's a dichotomy.
Yeah. And he'll just be like, it's students and I'm blah, blah, and I'm just so bad. And then suddenly you hear him sing and you're like, wait, what?
This is art. This is beautiful. It's like somebody gets this on camera.
I know. Like, I mean, every once in a while though, in my head, I mean, I don't know if the students even know, but I was a big South Park guy.
Oh,
so for a long time, I'd be like, Nuki, it's my chicken pet, you know? And sometimes I think, and I'm like, the students are probably like, the heck, is this on TikTok?
Yeah,
I'm
like, no. So, what is he talking about? So, what?
You know? And I'm just sitting there and I'm like, that's not how you sing this thing, you know? And they're
that's
just
a
like,
really good Cartman, dude.
And they'd be like, they just kind of, I try and they're just kind of, you know, and I feel like I'm getting to that age where I'm just like, I'm not going to say it because I'm going to make fun of me.
Hello, fellow kids. Like, how are you doing, fellow kids? Let me do these South Park impressions for you.
You know, and I'm
that's a really good Cartman, by the way.
Thank you. I really thought about like going into like music appreciation and being like, okay, yeah, today we're going to talk about opera. And they're going to be like,
but ma'am, opera.
But ma'am. Maybe do some singing. I couldn't keep a straight face.
Have you seen... this is a whole thing. Have you seen like the TikTok Cartman AI singing of like,
dude, other, oh my God.
It blow like it. When I heard him do, I think it's Evanescence. Yeah. It like shook me to the core. I was like, oh my God, that's incredible. How can you see into my, I was like, whoa. I was like, we got to get some more of that.
I loved him. I think it's when they did that Jennifer Lopez parody.
Oh, where, yeah.
Like, you know?
I'm Jennifer Lopez.
I'm Jennifer Lopez, you know? And he'd be like the little hand, you know? And that one, oh, gosh. I just, that's after amazing. That, I was like, dude, this is.
And your students typically just don't know what South Park is?
I'm sure they do to an extent, maybe through some sort of clips. But, you know, they didn't grow up with it like we did.
I know.
And see it.
Do you like the Book of Mormon?
I'm hoping to watch that. We're actually going to... New York in May, taking our opera and theater students.
Really?
And that's one of the musicals I want to go watch.
Really? Because you know that's them.
Right. That's what I've heard.
That's Matt Stone and Trey Parker.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
They're also working on, I this might be fake news, but I saw like something teasing that they're working with Kendrick Lamar on like a new, a movie musical. Because Matt Stone and Trey Parker, they crushed with the Book of Mormon. Mm-hmm. Like they like won Tonys and everything. And like and everybody's like, they're the South Park guys. Yeah. Like what? Like, you know, they're big. And whenever they did the South Park movie, back in the day, they got nominated for an Oscar for their music on that. So they're very musically inclined. Mm-hmm. And it's always funny when someone's like, it's like, oh yeah, my favorite musical is Book of Mormon. It's like, you know, that's the South Park guys that made it.
Yeah.
And you're like, what? It's crazy.
Yeah, I'm hoping to see it in a few weeks.
I'm jealous. I really want to see it. I know like originally the original cast was like Josh Gad was he was the one of the main guys. But yeah, such a good show. Such a good show, dude. Is there, besides that, is there any show you're like dying to see up there?
We're going to go watch, the students are going to watch some other stuff, but I want to go watch that Book of Mormon and I want to try to go watch The Great Gatsby.
Ooh, okay.
Jeremy Jordan's in it. Fantastic singer. Jeremy so I want to go hear him. He's the guy. Have you ever watched Supergirl?
Oh, the CW show?
Yes.
Okay, okay. No, I haven't watched it, but I know it's good. I've actually heard that it's solid.
Yeah, he's on that show. I forgot what other shows he's been on, but he's a heck of a singer.
Really?
Heck of a tenor.
Big bucks.
Yeah. And then we're going to go to the Metropolitan Opera and watch Carmen.
Wow.
And then the students, I think, are going to go watch like Hades Town and Water for Elephants.
Oh, Hades Town. Oh, yeah. Hades Town. Hades Town's like, if I'm thinking of the right one, it's like really weird. Mm-hmm. Right? I think it's kind of weird.
That's like, why I'm like, I'm going to go hang out with some friends. You know, I have some friends that went up there to like NYU and they still live up there. So probably when the students go to that, I'm going to go,
hang
out with some friends and catch dinner with them.
Well, that's awesome, man.
Yeah.
I'm jealous.
It's going to be fun.
Well, cool, man. Well, I hope you had a good time. Is there anything you want to add? Anything you want to throw out there? Shout out anybody? Before I kind of plug the show and wrap things up here?
No, man. I mean, I appreciate. I will say we were talking about first impressions. This wasn't a bad first impression, but I remember the first time I saw you was Hairspray.
Yes. Yes.
Because, you know, one of my good friends is Giselle.
Oh, yes. And she played my daughter.
Yes. And I was sitting there and I was like, dang, you know, dude look like a lady. Like, and I was like, you got this big old tall guy.
Because the whole role is traditionally played in drag, you know, originally done by, oh my goodness, what is her name? Oh no. The original one from John Waters or whatever. It's so good. But yes, and then the remake, John Travolta.
Yeah.
And Divine. There we go. I didn't want to forget that. Divine was the original drag queen that played mom. And, I was like, I gotta do right by Divine.
you did a great job, by the way.
Thank you.
But that was my like first
impression of
it. I remember looking at the program like, who the, know, like, because you just like sold it. And I just remember you standing there with the little ironing board,
heels.
Because that's why I was like, you're just towering above everyone else.
I had to learn how to dance and act and sing in heels for the very first time. Didn't think I'd ever need to learn how to do that. But and when they told me that I had to do that for that, I was like, done, you know, because it doesn't matter who's in the role. Even if they're bad, everybody's looking at Edna, and that because it's just like, oh, that's, you know, it's somebody in drag. Like everybody's gonna be looking at the person in drag. So I was just like, all right, I gotta be on my best.
Exactly. And that's why when you were up there and stuff, I was like, dude's pretty cool.
Thanks,
like,
man.
It was a fun time, man. You know, I went to go support my friend. I mean, I don't know. There's probably the only two people, and, you know, if anybody hears this and does, the only two people I remember from the show were you and her.
I mean, she destroyed
it. And I'm sure there's other people that I know who are in the show that I probably see around town.
Oh,
but
I'm like,
I can't remember because
hopefully if they're listening to this, I want to have you on and we could talk about it. You know, if anybody that was in the show back then at MCC, I think it was Jerry, one of Jerry's last shows. And I want to have him on the show and talk to you. So that's really cool that was, the first time you saw me. I'm trying to think of the first time I saw you. It had to been, the opera, whatever the opera was, then that following year or whatever. But I was always jealous because the way the shows worked at MCC, like, it was very tough if you wanted to do both. Very tough. And I don't know much of anybody that was able to do both. And I think maybe Giselle was one of them. But
yeah,
I was like, I couldn't do it. Couldn't do both at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
But
I got students right now. We just did Into the Woods, which is a massive show.
Yeah,
it's pushing like 3 hours, and
oh
then
my God.
they got 2 days off. You know, they had strike that night, which I don't know what time they
and
went
then the
home.
Show for the next is the next week.
Then night rehearsal started that following Monday, so they had 36 hours off.
Brutal.
And then I had ones that went straight into the opera role, and you know, I'm proud of them.
Yeah.
And I mean, they're walking out, as you know, with so much experience from walking out of somewhere like MCC. Kids are walking into their lessons just exhausted.
Yeah, I know.
I'm like, you wanted to do this, huh?
Actually, you thought it was all fun and games.
I just want to stand upside and just dance and sing.
And that's part of the magic. It's like you want to make it look easy to the audience. You want to make it look effortless and And that's when you know you're in the pocket, you're in the zone, when people are like, that looked just like you were just doing it, you know, and it meant nothing to you, but really you poured your heart and soul into it, and you're putting a lot of effort into it, but it just, if it looks natural, it looks clean, then you're in the pocket.
Yeah, once that stage bug bites.
Mm-hmm. Once you fall backwards.
Dude, in a row. And it pops up on my Facebook every year.
The clip?
The clip. I record it on my phone.
That's
and
awful.
It pops up, and I always tag the opera director. He's now, I don't know, he's gigging all over the country now, but I always tag him, and I'm like, hey, man, happy 1 year, you know?
Man.
And it's just, it's hilarious. Just, you know, I'm just like, look, y'all, if I can fall on stage and still get up and sing and not be like, oh, I need to stop. No.
You can.
The show goes, you never heard that, you know, fake it till you make it?
Yeah.
I was hurting. You know, but we had like 10 minutes left of the show. What was I going to do? Walk off?
No. Right, right. The show must go on
for real.
Well, thank you for listening to Worst Impressions, everyone. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram, TikTok, while we're still legal on TikTok. And if you'd like, you know, go support the Patreon. The Patreon will be in the show notes, Patreon/ Worst Impressions with Eric Anderson. And Edgar, you know, let anybody you know from back in the day or that you're still in contact with, I would love, I'm not going to say as I would love to have KP on, if you put it in his ear, but,
listen, I'll see him at lunch on Monday. he'd be a blast.
I was thinking about just like going and just finding him somewhere on campus.
Yeah. Good luck. He's running everywhere.
I'm sure he is. And that's the thing. I was like, respect your time, you know, all that stuff. I don't want to bother you, but, he's like one of my dream interviewees. But, thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you for inviting.
You're a real professional. One of the all time guests on the show. Love what you do. So proud to have known you, and just like of everything that you do. It's like, love it.
Appreciate it, man.
Love Likewise. It. So anyways, thank you all for listening. And
bye.
Good night. We'll be right back.